This is RSB and the Update, episode 110. The more things change, the more they stay the same. Hello everybody, this is Shane1288 back this week, and I'm also decided that I'm not going to be doing the show on my own this week. So we've got a huge selection of people that you guys know, love, and enjoy listening to. I'll start off with Joe, who was previously on episode 102, our famous, well-known macroer, bot, anti-bot war acrobat, activist.
You've seen those photos, have you, Shane?
Yeah. I just couldn't figure out the right words there. I don't know how acrobat.
That's why I was asking if you've seen the photos, because I know they've been going around the net for a while.
Okay.
Hi.
And Brad is here, as I'm sure you've just heard him.
Hello.
Who is in England this week with an absence of water.
Stupid floods.
Okay. And
yeah,
Mike,
I'm going to go into that. It's Rarsby.
Hello.
Yes. So Brad doesn't want to talk about the water. So water situation.
I just think it's ironic that when it floods, the water goes off. Surely there should be an abundance of water. But whatever.
Okay. So what were these pictures you were talking about that were circulating around on the web?
I'll show you later. It's very private.
Okay. Will do. Okay, RuneScape updates for this week. We've got a few interesting things on the part of Jagex and the fact that they basically will do anything that the peers say. So let's start off with the King's Ransom quest. So Brad, Mike, and myself have all done this quest, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Basically what happens is you go to that Sinclair mansion and you have to break a window, and I'm not sure where this plot change happened, but first you have to defend, what was that woman's name? And the one you have to defend in court?
Anna.
Right. So you have to defend her in court, and then somehow, I forget how it happens, but the plot switches over to helping a group of knights or squires or whatever they're called of Castle Camelot to escape from prison. I don't know. It was a...
And they all stand on each other's shoulders.
Yeah, to get Merlin out. That was funny. I don't know. I quite like this quest. What about you guys?
Well, it was the most entertaining one I've done in a while. It was also the first quest I've done in a while, but...
Yes.
It was quite fun. Yeah. The only tedious bit was having to get all the armor up together, the black armor.
That's annoying. I think Mike handled half of it, and I have handled half of it. Part of it comes from the Champions Guild, the other one, Alcard. And then the other part comes from the place in Varrock. Okay, so with that said, let's talk about some of the rewards and requirements. Let's do the requirements first. Level 45 magic and 65 defense. Which means, of course, that most peers won't be able to do this unless they're like a Barrow's peer or something.
Yes.
I'm sure that they were all very upset about that, but oh well, you choose to be how you choose to be.
Mm-hmm.
You also need Black Knight's Fortress, Merlin's Crystal, Holy Grail, Murder Mystery, and one small favor. So as you can see, quite a huge list of quests that were needed for this, and basically, its quest length is medium, but I'm not sure. What would you guys classify this as difficulty?
I'd say it was medium in medium. In difficulty as well. I wouldn't say it's too difficult.
No, that's right.
Just didn't even have to fight anything.
Yeah, and the only fight is at the end is optional, and if you die in that, you basically respawn.
Well, if you want the prayers, it's not optional.
Yeah, right. Okay, now I'm going to start tearing some hair out right about now. Let's talk about what the reward was when it first came out, shall we? Let's do that. Somebody who's
33. One quest point, 5,000 magic experience, 33,000 defense experience, and a 5,000 XP reward lamp.
Right.
The access to the two prayers, chivalry and piety.
Right. Which
increased defense, attack, and strength by a certain amount.
Okay.
Prayer and defense.
And now what was it nerfed to?
One quest point, 5,000 magic XP, 5,000 XP reward lamp, and 7,000 defense experience.
Now, I'm going to ask everybody here for their opinion on this. What do you guys think the Jagex's reasons behind this were, if any? I'll start at the top of my Skype list with Joe.
Well, I can only imagine this has been directly from the Rants Forum. There's got to have been so many pures complaining about the amount of defense XP. Like, it's just got. Why else would people want a reward reduced?
Yeah. Like, ugh. Mike, Brad?
I don't think it's really fair that they change it after people have already gotten it.
Right, right. But.
Why do they do this? They do this a lot, don't they?
Yeah, like, shouldn't that have been thought about before the quest was put out and it was in beta testing or whatever?
Well, I mean, I think about it. How long did it take them to make that quest? The graphics, the design, the concept. You have seen the development diaries. We know how long it takes to do some quite basic things.
Right.
So, for something like a quest and all the rewards that are involved, there must have been so much thought and consideration into it before they even put it out there.
Exactly.
Yeah. They change it.
I just wish JX would have the guts to stick with it and stick with their decisions and not listen to any of these complainers.
Yes. But then again, there's a fine line, isn't there, between do we want them to totally ignore the people that are ranting and complaining, or and then never have them listen to us if there's a genuine reason people are ranting?
Yeah.
There is a fine line, isn't there?
Yeah, that is a good point. Like, for instance, let's say... let's just say, for instance, there's a huge uprising about a certain skill. Oh, let's say farming. Would they remove that skill? Would they ever go to the point of removing a skill?
No, they wouldn't.
No.
That's a bit extreme. I should make a thread in the Rants Forum entitled "Remove Farming, It's Useless."
Oh, there's been a few of those already.
I should just get loads and loads of people to post in it and see if they remove it, which they never would.
And I'll tell you what I'd wish they'd do. Is grade people, because you know when you see people filling out the polls, I know you've talked about this before, the accuracy of the poll results and whatever. If people are inaccurate when they're filling in the polls, they shouldn't listen to them as much when they rant, if that makes sense. They should pay attention more to the people that are actually know what they're talking about.
Yeah. The question is, how do you do that?
Well, true. That's. But then again, if you're talking about things like overall totals, whether they've accurately filled out polls. There's all kinds of things that could factor in.
So basically, anybody who's been around for a long time kind of would have more say.
Not necessarily. I mean, it doesn't even have to be a long time, but if you were ranting about farming and you only had 20 farming and somebody else commented on it and they had 99 farming, who would you believe more?
The person with 99 farming.
I think that's the bottom line of it.
Yeah, I see that. Okay, and speaking of small things that are details in this quest, next thing is they ended up moving the party room because they needed a place to put the courthouse. Did anybody actually ever use that party room beforehand?
People use it for drug parties, don't they?
Yeah.
I've used it before a couple of times before it was moved, and I've used it since it was moved on free to play just to give them a chance to see what it's like.
And what's been the reaction of the free-to-play people?
It was really interesting. I mean, I do a drop party on free-to-play about once a month, and I just go and drop loads of strength ammies, power ammies, a load of rune items, and some bits and bobs. And I walked through with a friend of mine, Ting Kao Lo. We walked through Varrok, Falador, gathered a group of people, took them there, and we said, hey, we're going to drop 1 mil plus items, whatever. And they all said, whatever, we don't believe you. We put it all in the chest, and everybody was sitting there going, wow, you know, all this stuff. We pulled the lever, all the balloons started coming out, and everybody was stood there saying, what do we do?
That would be hilarious.
I was like, well, you know, try and figure it out. Just stand there for a couple of minutes and think about it.
And then meanwhile, some quick-witted one goes around and gets all the items.
Exactly, and then people were coming up afterwards, as I do on free to play, and they were saying, I got nothing, I didn't get anything, and most of them are lying, or they just, you know, they don't, honestly don't know what they're talking about, and you just said, well, you should have popped more balloons.
Yeah.
You didn't get anything? Well, that's because you're too thick to understand the principle of flicking.
back to topics on this quest. Chivalry and piety prayers. The chivalry one increases. I think that's the one that does 20% attack, and 15% defense, and something like 17% strength. Right?
Let me look it up.
I might have got my numbers mixed up.
Chivalry is defense by 20, attack by 15, and strength by 15.
Okay.
Percentage. And piety is defense by. You need 60 prayer, 65 defense. Piety is defense by 25, attack by 23, strength by 20, 70 prayer, 70 defense.
I actually like the idea of those.
I think they've got them quite balanced, to be honest, because, I mean, I'm combat 116. I've got 99 strength, 99 attack, but I can't do the piety prayer because I haven't got a high enough prayer level.
Which is...
So they've obviously... I mean, I'm sort of like semi-pure, if you like, but they've obviously balanced it right in that I can't get the most powerful prayer because I've only got 61 prayer.
Yeah, that's a good point there. Very good point. Does anybody know about the drain rate on these? Whether it'd be more efficient to use the standard attack, strength, and defense prayers rather than these?
It's actually the same for the chivalry one as having your super, the 15% at and strength on.
Okay.
It drains at the same rate as having both of those on.
Okay. Moving onwards. Graphical update to Seer's Village. Yeah, it looks like all the other ones. I think my favorite one of their area updates still is the Falador one. I'm still not too keen on the Varrock one. What about you guys?
I like the Varrock one. I think it's not too shiny. The Falador one blinds me.
Yeah, the Falador one is a bit too bright.
Yeah, I play brightness on full, so Varrock looks quite good to me.
And Mike?
I like the Falador one the best, though.
Yeah, I play brightness on full too. I don't understand how people can play with like one or two level brightness. It's too dark for me. But anyways, yes. The light version of the high scores. I know we're happy about this at RSBNB.
Yeah.
It you were saying it made our scripts faster.
Yeah, it's about 33% faster.
Well done, JX. Well done. About time you start listening to people. Well
and,
done.
And also, it shows any levels that are above 30, whether or not they are ranked on the high scores.
Yeah, I know we were having some problems with that on the goal sigs with people not being ranked, but now I guess that's good for them.
Do you know, with the light version of the high scores, have they removed that restriction on once per 24 hours?
I don't know. We're still following that.
Yeah.
We don't need to grab more than that.
Because...
It's only a restriction on automated, so anyone, like, on the calculators and stuff, they can just click it and they'll get their stats still.
Yeah, and anybody who feels that they need their signatures updated more than once a day can just go to the forum and recreate them and do an update that way. Because that would also... If we enabled it to be updating more often, that'd just create more load on us. So this is the best of both worlds. Best for us, best for JAGX. So we're going to be leaving ours with that rule intact.
Yeah.
Ninja Implings now drop noted dragon hides. So what, did they drop unnoted before? Or?
Yeah, and it was a pain.
Okay. How many did they drop in their unnoted form?
I know they do 6 noted, certainly. But I'm sure I remember having 12 unnoted on a couple of occasions.
Hey,
and it was awkward.
Okay, well that's a good choice there. Good choice. Okay, moving down into the little bits and pieces of the updates this week. The Fall of 6. I was really tired last night. I was gonna read it, but I never got around to it. Any of you guys read this story?
No.
I read about half of it. I didn't really read it that much.
Then you fell asleep?
Well, no. I got distracted.
Okay. It's by an anonymous author adapted from a crumbling tomb found at the site of the Barrows. Original date of writing unknown.
So one of the Dragon X staff, basically.
Yeah, probably. But they show Guthan on there, it looks like. Tell me if you think that's Guthan on their little picture.
How long is it?
Yeah, it's like three sections, and each section has about five paragraphs in it.
It's not that long.
That's Guthan at the top, though, isn't it? Yeah.
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 Well, I'll take a read of it later, and if there's anything important in it, I'll be sure to put a thing in it, reference to it in the notes.
I think a lot of people like reading this kind of thing because they think they might get a bit of a sneak preview of something that's going to be out soon.
It's like... Sorry, continue.
No, sorry, I was just going to say some kind of tip about something that's already in the game that people don't know
it's
about.
Like, it's almost like lore. Like, again, World of Warcraft was sort of, because it came after three RTS games, sort of had all the lore in place, whereas with RuneScape, they're writing all like the lore and the stuff before, afterwards.
Ah, I see. So basically someone could go forward a few hundred years and make a next version of RuneScape and not have to write any of the history.
No, but yeah, well, that's basically what Jagex did, didn't they? But now but they're sort of filling in all the gaps.
They've got a lot more freedom, though, haven't they, in that they can...
Yeah.
It's flexible at the moment, but the more lore that these put down, the more they're committing themselves to a particular version of events.
Yeah.
And the more they have to stick by it with...
I'd like to write history. Okay. Anybody else have anything to say on this before we move onwards to a little moderation? No? Going once?
No.
Going twice? Gone. Okay. A little moderation. Okay, I take it we've all voted in this and are kind of upset about this.
Upset? Why would I be upset?
Okay. How often do you see a player moderator in the game?
Rarely.
Mike?
That's a stupid question to ask Mike. He is a player moderator. Every time he plays, he's either player moderator.
Joe, your turn.
That was one of the options, though, wasn't it? That you are playing yourself. But what were the top end choices?
The top choices were rarely, frequently, and very rarely.
I think I put frequently.
Yeah, I think that's what I put too.
Do you think if I vote I am a player moderator when I'm not, Jagex will know?
I don't think so, because how many player moderators are there?
I don't know, a couple thousands.
Okay.
Thousands.
And according to this, there's only 1645.
Well, just remember, they're using all this data, and they're hiring consultants to come in and analyze the results and work out how to market the game or whatever. So they'll just see your results, Brad, and they'll just say, well, this one's confused.
I am very confused.
Brad's a confused child.
We can sell him anything. Put any adverts you like on.
They can't sell me anything.
So based on this first question is they'd want to try and hype the player moderators some more, somehow.
They'll probably put something else in, like the stronghold of security or something.
That was a joke.
For the free-to-play.
Or they'll have a player moder application form.
I think it's... it's interesting to see when they do the result of this poll. There are a lot of ways they could use this info when you think about it.
What has been your experience of player moderators? 27% say they are usually polite and happy to help, followed by some are polite and helpful at 25%, and they are always polite and happy to help at 20%. Well, that reflects good on player moderators then.
They are rude and unhelpful.
Well, Mike's only gotten around to meeting 6% of the population. You can't expect him to meet everybody, surely.
Yeah. I don't know, player moderators I see are nice.
Most all the mods I've met have either been particularly nice or they might just be indifferent, but then it's what they're doing at the time. At the end of the day, they're players first and the player mods second, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of player mods, last night I was in Catherby. And this guy, person, I don't remember their name, but it's like Patty something. And they kept saying, hi, hi. Like, they just kept saying it and saying it. And there's like maybe like 10 other people in the bank. And maybe after about 5 minutes of them saying, hi, 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 a player mod says, hi, Patty. So out of the people in the only people in the blank, the player moderator was the one who went to talk to this person. I don't know, that's okay. Nice of them, but...
I think it's on that question too. The interesting thing on there to me was the fact that there were 1,909 people said, I am player mod. It's only 2%. But when you think about it, that's like, if we said there were 1 million members, that's one player mod for every 523 players. And yet still, over a third of the people either see a player mod frequently or every time they play. So it just shows they've distributed them well.
Yeah. Okay, question 3. What do you think being a player moderator entails? Well...
Oh dear, 6,000 people think they work for and are paid by Jagex.
Well, at least we know that 84% or 77,000 of the people say that they help by reporting rule breakers to Jagex. They enforce the rules. They help players in-game and answer questions. Those ones are sort of right.
Jesus Christ, 27,000 people think they can ban other players.
Shh. Don't break the myth.
Oh, I've seriously
Mike
wondering...
will ban you if you say that last week's update was bad, which it wasn't.
The only jurisdiction we have with the ban hammers on RSBNB.
And Mike on RuneScape.
Yes. Wow. Yeah, this, I don't know. Does anybody want to talk about this one, or can I move on?
I think it's just sad that so many people have got those misconceptions. Yeah. It just goes to show that even with the adverts about what play, what and the town cries, there's still people just don't have a clue.
Well, maybe we do need a stronghold of security type thing for player mods. About player mods, then.
Well, that's what the town criers were, though, wasn't it? That's the whole idea. They're supposed to tell people about. Has anybody actually talked to them about and seen what they say?
No.
No, same here.
That's so funny. That's part of the job, to do this show and nobody's done it. I guess that just means that we assume our listeners are all intellectual.
Idiots, yes.
No, they're not
idiots.
Let's just
say most of our listeners don't fall into that 27,500.
Be happy about that. Thank you. Be happy about that. You guys are smart people. Don't let your brain power go to waste. How often do you see a Jagex staff moderator in-game? 55% say I've never seen one, followed by very rarely and rarely. I don't know. The only time I've seen one is when I go to an update, like a minigame or something right after it first comes out. Last time I saw a Jagex mod was when that Troubled Brewing minigame came out and the person who designed it was there. So, it's the last time I saw one. What about you guys?
Last time I can remember seeing a mod was when they did the change ages ago. They did some quests. It was when Polinovich, however you pronounce it, was released, and they had a Jagex mod at the Shanty Pass.
Okay.
That was ages ago.
Joe and Mike?
I've seen quite a few mods in-game, probably well over a dozen, at different times, whether it's a new skill coming out or a new area or quest or game. I've even been seeing a few of them just in general terms, doing bug checks and what have you when there's not been anything released. And Mod Tara was very kind to come in-game just to visit me and say thank you for reporting and whatever. That was really nice.
Yeah, and then they just appear out of nowhere, right?
Yeah, it's kind of random, but yeah.
And Mike?
Last time I've seen one was at Castle Wars a long time ago. Paul was there.
Paulina!
That's quite cool to meet Paul, though, isn't it? Because he's one of the two main guys.
Yeah. I haven't really seen any other J-Mods, though.
Okay. What has been your experience with Jagex staff moderators in-game? And once again, 52% have never seen one, and then 20% they're always polite and happy to help, followed by 12% they don't talk to me at all.
That's not a surprise.
This question annoyed me, and you know what annoyed me? Because if you look at, I've never seen a Jagex staff modding game, 52%, and then you look up at question 4, I've never seen one, 55%.
Yeah,
there's just something wrong. I mean, how do you manage to get it wrong from one question to the next?
They are rude and unhelpful. I put they are rude and unhelpful, rarely. Then for the other ones, I just put I've never seen one, I've never seen one, I've never seen one. I don't answer correctly. I'm trying to throw a spanner in their works, damn it.
I know Brad's... I don't like people who try and skew the results.
Brad's
oh, sorry.
I want our RSVNB polls to be accurate.
I never vote in those.
I think there's one positive that can come out of this. The fact that most people have said they don't see Jagex staff members very commonly. Hopefully they will try and get in-game more often.
Yeah, and that's what... And I think that's what we need for the bot problem. Speaking of which, let's get an update on that. It's been roughly 2 months since we last talked to you about this, so tell us, what has changed? Has it gotten worse? Has it gotten better?
Sure. I mean, a lot of it has changed. And some change has been good, some has been negative. The checks I was doing, I ended up getting up to 3,000 phishing bots. And they had banned somewhere around 80% of those. I checked it recently again, and it's actually 92% now.
Wow.
From the ones I reported. So they have been reactive to the ones we've reported to them. But the in-game now, at the moment, the phishing bots are really launching off. If you go to Cafferby, you'll see so many level 3 bots there.
I've seen that.
It is just about to explode, but the reason for that is that they managed to completely KO all the woodcutting bots, the ones that were used in Draenor. So Jagex has really... They've made some huge steps. They did brilliantly to kill the script that people were using for the Draenor and Lumbridge bots, but they're moving on to other skills. They need to really work on it. And I think they are doing. I really get the impression that they're actually trying, but I just wish they would make more effort to spot these things themselves. They shouldn't be relying on players reporting them. They should be able to see what these guys are doing, because at the end of the day, if you can tell somebody's a bot, there are obvious signs that you're looking for, so they should automate that.
Exactly. So how do you think that they managed to get rid of all the woodcutting bots around the Draenor Lumbridge area?
I'm curious about it. They made some changes to the randoms, didn't they? They had this new random they've introduced, and they've changed the woodcut breaking thing. So whether there was something in the script or something that was looking for that, or whether it is purely the fact that they were always doing a particular common routine. I mean, obviously, I don't really want to go into too many details because I don't want to give the game away to the people out there that are using these scripts or writing them. But there are certain common things that these bots tend to do, and certain common ways to go about things. And perhaps Jagex keyed into one of those and managed to use that as a definitive, well, anybody doing this, they must be using that script, or anybody doing a combination of things.
Ah, yeah, that makes sense about that. Yeah, so fishing, woodcutting's been slowed down a bit, but fishing, what are some other areas? I've heard rumors of auto rune crafters, is that true?
Not auto as runecrafting. The thing, it's an important distinction to make. There are two things hitting the game at the moment. There are bots, i.e. automated, left alone to do it themselves, no player interaction needed. And there are GP farmers. And both are essentially cheating. Both are a drain on the game because they're trading for real-world cash. But the GP farmers are actual real players, quite often... those employed for low cost from Far Eastern countries or whatever, and they're going around and they're just collecting goods to sell for real world cash. The runecrafting ones are genuinely actual players, but just doing it for real world cash.
Okay. Yeah, so I don't know. I just hope that something is it is. Do you think that one day we'll be back to zero bots, or will there always be a bot problem, and that they'll be constantly fighting to protect?
Put it this way, it is achievable. They can certainly get rid of 90% of the bot population and GP farmer population. The problem is at the minute that they've got to look at it the right way. I know people have said a lot of times, why don't they put more muggers in the autoing areas? We've got a lot of level 3 bots. We've got these areas where we know the bots go, so why don't we just put loads of dark wizards or muggers there, and that'll kill it? It won't, though, because the first thing that will happen then is they'll train the combat on those bots up to whatever level they need to not be attacked.
Right.
And then they'll just set them botting again. You've got to look at it from their point of view and think, well, if we did this, how would I get around it? And then that's all they're going to do. The way they need to look at it at the minute, they've got to look at the areas that are being hit, like the auto buyers, the flax bots, that's really taken off lately. The fishers, the rune crafting we know is GP farmers, the drag killers are GP farmers. They've just got to look at where they know they've got bots first. Get rid of the bots. Once they've eradicated them, then they can look at GP farmers because the bots won't be an issue anymore.
Right. Okay. Anything else that you'd want to talk about regarding bot farmers, or I mean bot farmers or GP farmers? Bot farmers is that a new term?
quite a few of my friends have actually been talking to these GP farmers and having fairly drawn out conversations with them and saying, you know, you do realise what you're doing is against the rules, but they've all pretty much said the same thing. We don't really care. We're just here to earn a wage.
Right.
They don't care about the impact on the game. They don't even like the game, most of them. They said they don't enjoy playing it in any way, shape or form, but they just do it for earning a wage. One or two have said that they actually play it for fun as well, but on a different character. Strangely enough, so I don't know.
Oops. Sorry about that. I just was touching some buttons and I reversed an audio question that we're going to be moving on to soon. Okay, so I think, are we done on the bot subject, or anything else you want to add?
All I'd say is for everybody, still do still keep reporting them. It is helping. It is capturing evidence. It's helping them to develop the anti-scripts stuff, and just keep your chin up. At the end of the day, this will get sorted. Jagex will win in the end.
Yeah, I know whenever I see a bot or whatever on the farming run, woodcutting, I just report them and do my daily duty. So, yes. Yeah, so, everybody do your daily duty and report. Thank you for that. Now we're going to move on to an audio question from Red Rooster 5. I have a lazy question now.
What do you think made Jagex make RuneScape?
Did everybody get that?
Yeah.
Okay. So, what... Why did Jagex originally make RuneScape? What do we all think?
Didn't Andrew like start some smaller version? Wasn't it Devious Mud?
Yes.
Some first version. He probably just wanted to make a game and expanded it from there.
I know.
No, I remember. On his site, he used to say he used to play a lot of text-based internet games with other people. And he wanted some game to play on the internet with graphics or something like that. And
The mud games were text-based, weren't they? They were like dungeon-type role-playing games, but they were text-based.
Yeah, and then they added graphics. I'm sure the mud games had graphics.
I think if you... Or no, I don't know. I remember reading something about it once on Wikipedia.
I've seen a screenshot of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe find that and we can put it in the notes. But
just
basically,
Google Devious Mud.
Basically, it started as Andrew's little thing he started in college, then it just snowballed from there into the current version of RuneScape that we have today. And let's just say he managed to make quite a nice little profit off it. Oh yeah, here it
yes.
is. It's a screenshot of Devious Mud. It's the precursor to RuneScape. Basically, it's got examine, take, drop, use, talk to, and some other things. You can take a look at it on this Wikipedia page. We'll be putting a link in the notes to that. Thank you, Red Rooster. Next one. Let's get Mike to take this one.
All right. What are your biggest fears? Walking into your parents' bedroom at the wrong time, perhaps? And Alex.
Okay, let's start answering with Mike on this one.
I don't know. I guess I'm afraid of heights. I'm not really afraid of much, I guess. I don't know.
Okay. Brad?
Afraid of... What am I afraid of?
Klingons.
Rejection! That's the only thing I am really scared of.
Okay. Joe?
I don't know. It's a hard one, isn't it? Failure, I suppose. I like to succeed in what I'm doing.
I for me, I'd have to say like the unknown or something like that.
Well, are you scared of the dark?
No.
That's why people are scared of the dark, though, isn't it? They aren't scared of the dark. They're scared of what the dark hides.
I think you get my meaning. I think I used to be scared of the dark.
I used to be scared of balloons.
Yes!
it was at family party like last month. It was my stepsister's 21st. And my stepfather's nephews, who's like 26, was scared of balloons. So I was running around in the garden with this balloon and he was running away and screaming like a girl. God, that was fun. I probably scarred him for life.
Evil.
I wonder, scared of balloons. I wonder why Alex put this walking into your parents' bedroom at the wrong time, perhaps?
Maybe he did that.
Yeah, that's what I'm
thinking. That's what he's scared of.
Talking from personal experience there, isn't he? I walked into his parents' bedroom at the wrong time.
Yeah. What are you most scared of? Walking into your parents' bedroom at the wrong time.
Oh, yes, you are. That's it. Oh, God.
I love it how we find some way to insult the question asker.
I just wish they'd say what they're afraid of, you know? Like, when these type of questions that ask, I wish they'd say, you know?
Maybe you should, on next week, you should make them answer their own question, too.
Oh, good idea, good idea, good idea. Okay, thank you, Alex. Brad, next one's for you.
Okay, in a second. What do you think of people who have a higher combat level than you? Because when I was fire making and I had been there for an hour, and the level 107 comes along, I am 89 combat, and he goes, lol, hop, nub, even though I've been there before him. And this has happened many times before. I think that they are worse than pures, and like the fact you hate pures, I do not hate all high levels, just some. That's from KJTH 2003.
I personally don't think that higher levels have a right to tell people to get out of a certain spot just because they're higher levels. Like, if I'm, for instance, say, going to mine clay, and there's some lower level on this rock I want to use, I won't tell them to go away.
But some people do, though. You've got to admit, there are players that it goes to the head a little. And
yeah, like I just really think those are the people that have had some problem or something in real life and weren't educated on the proper aspects of, say, sharing or being courteous to others.
But then again, they're also probably the people that just PC'd it in about 2 months and don't have any respect because they did it that way.
Yeah. Speaking of pest control, that's been nerfed. I'm thinking of basically how that would work. There's basically no way that it can be used how it was used before because people could complete a game in 30 seconds and be done and get a point.
This was discussed last week. You were away.
I know, but when I was listening in the car, I wanted to chime in. So I figured I'd just do it now.
It's just so annoyed he missed the pures being.
I know. Okay.
I think the problem with this high level question is that I think most of us talking at the moment are quite high level anyway. Are we all over like level 100 or so?
I'm 101. I'm the lowest here, I think.
Yeah. So
I'm 111.
We don't really, I'm 116 now, Mike.
I'm 114.
Yeah. So, I mean, we don't really see it that much, but I do know what this guy's talking about. I have seen it. And, you know, at the end of the day, your best thing to do is laugh it off. And just carry on.
Yeah,
and if
exactly.
They keep being really annoying. If it's a skill like fire making, remember you've got a fantastic way to get back at them. If they stop doing a row of fires, just put one fire in front of them, and then just carry on doing what you're doing.
Yeah, and if all else fails, just remember it's just a game.
Exactly.
This must be something specifically to RuneScape because I've not seen it in any other game. I've never seen any sort of level prejudice in World of Warcraft.
Are levels displayed publicly in World of Warcraft?
Yes.
Yeah, hang on a second, though. Let's get this right. That's because in World of Warcraft, almost everybody is 60, aren't they? Isn't
yeah,
there like
but there
a really low ceiling? Well, there you go, then.
But no, there are. 70, actually. But there is a lot of people leveling up, and you do see plenty of people at lower levels, considering even if you like no life it, it'll take a month or two to get to that level. But there is no level prejudice. There is no, I'm higher than you, therefore I'm better, I'm higher than you. You get out, I'm here, whatever.
Then so again, they don't have high scores, do they? So the there's not much focus on that. Whereas in RuneScape, it does have high scores. So everybody's geared towards...
RuneScape is more competitive as far as levels goes.
That's right.
I made a blog post about that. You can find that at the blog.
Just saidbybrad.com, right?
I wasn't intending to plug it then, but whatever. Thank you.
He was returning the favor from last week.
I know, but I just... Speaking of level people who want to talk about their levels, I'm rank 736 farming now, if anybody wants to take a note of that.
You can see screenshot of that.
No, I don't have a screenshot of that, because I was away when I got that level. And despite certain rumors, I did not hire Chinese gold farmers whatever to play on my account. There's a topic in the sandbox or something about me and how they thought I hired Chinese people to play on my account.
And Creepy said you were a Chinese mafia boss.
Fuck. Jeez. Okay, back to the topic at hand here. Mike, do you have anything to add on this one?
Nope.
Okay. Then we move on and we give the next one to Joe.
Okay. What do you think of vegetarian food on RuneScape? That's from Alex SE.
So for every shark you don't eat, I'm going to eat three.
So what do you think of that? Like, I honestly don't think it should be an issue.
What vegetarian food is there, though, at the moment already?
There's potatoes.
That's it.
There's the chain on potatoes.
There's the gnome food.
Cabbages.
Actually, gnome food has crab and stuff in it, doesn't it?
What high-level food do we have that's vegetarian? Because we can't say sharks, obviously. We can't say tuna on potatoes.
Summer pie.
That's what I was thinking of.
What does that heal, though?
Agility.
My agility is getting low. I need to heal agility.
Doesn't summer pie have a fish in it?
No, it's fruits, isn't it? Or is it?
Yeah, the summer pie has a strawberry, watermelon, and an apple.
Oh. That's what they should have examined on food, so you can check if it's vegetarian.
What? So you want them to put a little green V after the food if it's vegetarian?
Yes. No, you examine and say this is suitable for consumption by vegetarians.
You know what would be next? They'll just have warning: this product may contain nuts.
Oh no.
They could take it too far, can't they?
Yeah. Characters should have allergies. Like, if you have a nut allergy and you eat a nut, you die.
No, the animation would be sick.
Okay.
Oh no, his face has gone red.
Does anybody... are vegetarians allowed to eat fish?
Not really. Oh, it is a dead animal.
It's not strictly vegan, is it?
I remember somebody in my class when I was much younger who used to say, I'm a vegetarian, but I eat chicken. Doesn't that defeat the object?
Okay, let's take a look at what a vegetarian could eat. They could eat raspberry pie, mud pie, apple pie, garden pie, and summer pie.
But we want high-level foods. I mean, what we're saying there is that if somebody wanted to be vegetarian in-game, they're never going to survive in the wilderness, are they?
Yeah, that's right. Cause
are they not? There's got to be at least one non-meat high-level food, surely.
Jagex hates vegetarians!
Level 68, tuna and corn potato.
That's
tuna!
Oh, right. Okay. Well, then, that's it for members.
What about pineapple pizza?
Oh, maybe. But that's not high-level.
Well, it heals 22.
Oh, it does?
Is it just pineapple slices only? Don't you have ham on there, or meat or something?
Yeah, but that's ham and pineapple, or Hawaiian.
Yeah, it's just pineapple.
Okay, well, there we go. And vegetarians, you can eat your pineapple pizza.
And
but that's in two slices.
Curry, too, isn't it? That's about it for high level. Does curry have any meat in it?
No, curry's got meat in it because it's a stew with the spices in it, and the stew's got meat.
Oh.
Okay, so what's everyone's favorite kind of pizza then?
Meat feast.
Meat feast all the way, yeah.
Yeah. We're on a question about vegetarians and we all chose meat.
Yeah.
Screw vegetarians.
Yeah, I like my meat pizza too. Okay. I'll take the next question. Thank you, Alex.
But if we ever record RSBNB Live, we know what pizza to get.
Yes. Meat. Okay, Shane. Actually, I'll reword this and everyone explain in detail what clothes you are wearing from GZ Pro. Well,
That's an odd question.
I'll start right now. I'm wearing a navy shirt with my watch, and I'm wearing some black pants and gray socks. Brad?
I'm Nate. No.
Brad, before you start, I don't know if you noticed, but Shane's gone commando.
Somebody actually PM'd me and said... And said, you know, say you're naked, but I don't think I had the balls to carry that through. I couldn't actually pretend I was. Anyway.
But once before, you told me you were recording in a bathroom.
That's enough. Anyway, I'll say what I'm doing. I have, like, a green top on, jeans, no socks. That's it.
And Mike?
Wearing jeans and a shirt, a t-shirt.
Okay. And he is wearing socks. Joe?
Very plain, white t-shirt and jeans on at the minute. I'm relaxing after work now.
Okay. And that was from GZ Pro. These questions are always entertaining. What is probably the worst thing you guys have done in real life and regret doing it? Also, do you like my new avatar?
Mike likes it. Mike likes it very much.
From Zach. Okay, so on to the question. What do we regret doing in real life?
Lots.
Regrets. What do you regret? A lot. I can't remember. What do I regret? I don't have regrets.
Except for the morning after.
Always. When you wake up and turn over and holy shit, what the hell is that?
I think it's hard to say about regrets, to say, because... You can look back on anything in your life and you can say, well, I wish I'd done that different, or I'd done that different. But at the end of the day, as long as you make what you feel is the right choice at the time, that's the best thing to do.
Yeah,
a bad thing isn't really a regret if you don't regret it, if you just move on. And
as long as you learn from it, that's a good thing.
Yes, learn from your mistakes.
Because you've benefited from it.
Okay. I don't know, let's move on to the avatar part.
Shane has something to hide.
I'm just zooming in on it right now because I can zoom in on it, and I really don't think that's a... I don't think that's a good avatar.
Whoever knew Tom was queer?
Who?
Tom, the founder of MySpace. Well, the head of the corporate image of MySpace.
Oh, that's who that is?
Yeah.
Oh,
he's automatically a friend of anyone that signs up.
I don't have a MySpace account, so I wouldn't know.
Oh, come on, that's common knowledge.
Okay.
Can you just wonder if that Tom was just like some real loner, sat
in a
bedroom by himself, and all he ever did was code. So he coded this website to try and make friends.
And now he has all the friends he wants.
He's got however many tens of millions of friends around the world. Yeah. That sounds like a happy ending to me. I bet he's not regretting it.
I know what Mike...
He's got a creepy smile.
Mike should change his avatar to something on RSBNB.
Like what?
The sprays and Counter-Strike.
No. And no, I do not like the avatar.
Okay, there we go. There we go. He'll tell you about his Counter-Strike spray later.
I think it's a lovely avatar. Well done, Zach.
I think you're disturbed in the head, Zach. Well done.
I like mine better.
I have no avatar.
I'll give you one.
Why not?
I don't know, I just...
Why did you remove your avatar?
What did I have for my last avatar? I can't remember.
It was the guy throwing the computer out the window.
No, it wasn't. That was ages ago. I can't remember what I had.
It was a picture of you, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't. I never had a picture of me as my avatar. Jesus. I don't know why I keep saying Jesus a lot recently, because I don't believe in him. But
okay.
Floods.
Let's just move on. I can't remember what I had.
Welcome back, Shane. Where did you go on on vacation or some sort? Tell or
he went to a psychiatric hospital. Next question.
No, I went on a big trip.
To a psychiatric hospital.
No.
Next question.
No. No, it's just a long trip with the family that was, for the most part, okay, except for a few days of it that involved spending some time in the U.S. Thank you, Tal.
Very descriptive.
Yeah. I tell more, but I don't want to compromise any family security. Okay, next one. Somebody read it to me.
I'll take it.
Okay.
Shane, were you scared that somebody would mess up the site while you were gone? That's from BTBBJM.
Of course not. Mike is fully, and Mike and Brad are fully capable of handling anything that should have come up.
You hope I am.
Yeah, you are. And
just
from
them.
You hope.
And from what I heard, it was a fairly quiet week too.
Yes, it was.
Wow. I'm just waiting for the sky to start falling and something to happen, but something always happens in the summer. It hasn't happened yet, though.
Okay, but don't jinx it.
Yes, we would like a quiet summer. The less the people do bad things, the less work there is to do for us, and the more we can just do nothing.
Twiddle our thumbs.
We don't want to have to ban anyone.
No.
Unless certain people we would take pleasure from banning. If
whose name shall
wanted.
Not be said here. Okay.
Shame.
No. Okay. Next question can go to Mike.
Can any of you say a tongue twister? And that's from Bluesbringer.
I'm not a pheasant plucker. I'm a pheasant plucker's mate.
Peter Piper pecked a pick of
that's
pickled
a British
peppers.
One.
No. Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers. There you go.
Riding the ragged rock, the ragged rascal ran. No, it only works if you say it fast, like 10 times.
Yeah. Mike?
I'm not good with tongue twisters.
Joe?
No.
You've used all my tongue twisters up. I can't remember any. Hang on a second. I'm just bringing one up here.
Oh. The beauty of Google.
There's a tongue twister.
If Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers, how many pickled peppers did Peter Piper pick?
Or she sells seashells by the seashore. There we go.
Here's one. A skunk sat on a stump and thunk the stump sunk, but the stunk thunk the skunk stunk. Jesus! I guess it's a colloquialism, thunk instead of think. A skunk sat on a stump and thunk the stump sunk, but the stunk stump thunk the skunk stunk. Good God! That was fun.
Yeah, I don't know. There's your answer, Blooper Singer. Remember, you're on the newspaper staff.
Shane and Brad, what are your views on cheating from Vansman2323?
I'd assume this is referring to the game aspect.
Okay, what are your views on cheating?
Totally,
do it if you can get away with it.
Totally unacceptable.
Immoral. Ruins the game.
Exactly. Don't be a cheater. It just ruins it for everyone else.
Joe? And what do you gain from doing it?
Exactly. You just gain something before you get banned.
I think you know my opinion on it.
Yeah.
Totally against it in all ways, shapes, and forms.
Mm-hmm. Question is though, if there's something that you needed, would you cheat to get it?
No. What's the point though, really? Because all you're doing is cheating yourself at the end of the day.
Exactly. Like for instance, on my farming thing, my raising the money for my farming,
Jesus.
I'm only 5 to 7 mil short now.
But,
you can see my progress at the blog.
Yeah, you can go there.
More importantly, he is accepting donations, if you haven't seen.
Somebody came and bought you 99 Farming, wouldn't you think that would be a bit cheating?
Yeah, I wouldn't accept it.
Yeah, right.
But
yeah,
if they gave it you one at a time, that would be okay.
Sure.
Okay, that's what I'd clarify.
Okay, yeah, so you can see the progress at, you know, where, or on the forums. Okay, who's got a little kid in the background?
That's me. I've got two of them off in another room somewhere having an argument about something.
How old are they?
One's 7 and one's 3.
Ah, oh, that's nice. Okay. Next one. Hey, Shane, Brad, and Mike. I saw your podcasts on iTunes and I got them. I really like them.
Anyway, especially last week's. That one was the best. No, he didn't say that.
Anyways, my question is, what monster do you think has the best drops? Like, I'm not really looking for just one specific, but go ahead and feel free to answer however you like. From Duradel.
Jack, a minute, isn't Duradel the one that was involved with the Fally Massacre?
No.
Sure, Duradel was...
No,
that's Duriel.
He's the Slayer Master.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I thought... Yeah, right, Duradel. I knew the name was familiar. Right, okay. I made an idiot of myself. Let's continue.
Okay, let's start with at the top of my Skype list with Joe. What monster would you recommend for him for good drops?
I'd say it depends on something, because at the end of the day, when I train on a monster and I'm going for drops, it's purely down to Slayer. If you've got, say, 65 Slayer, then you go and train on Dust Devils. If you've got 80 Slayer, you go and train on Necreals. I think Slayer plays a big part in what monster you're looking for drops, because all the best drops are from Slayer monsters.
Well, there we go. That's what I was going to say, too. Unless you're going for some Dragon Plate Laser Skirt.
Yeah, then I'd agree with that, too.
If you're going for the Dragon Plate Laser Skirt, you can go for the Metal Dragons. Or if you want a Dragon Full Helmet, you can go for the Mithril Dragons, but those are kind of hard. Yeah. That was an easy one. Should I get 85 Slayer?
It's a hard one at the moment.
I never get any whips from those things.
A lot of people have said the same, and I'm only 80 Slayer, and I had a real sort of burst of luck a couple of weeks back. I got some pies, you know, which pies is it again?
Wild pie.
Wild pies, that's it. I found 7 of them in a general store, and I just bought them on the off. And I went there, and I got 2 whips, one drop after the other. Literally 2 kills in a trot was 2 whips.
Wow.
And a friend of mine has been going there the last week or so using pies, and he's had 3 whips so far out of about 30-odd pies. Friends that I know that are 85 and above Slayer have been there for weeks and just not been getting any whips.
I've killed like a few thousand of them, and I've only ever gotten 1 whip.
Yeah, exactly. They've changed the drop rate on it somehow, but I'd stick to Nex if I were you. You're 80 Slayer already, aren't you?
Me?
Shane, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, did you use the Ring of Wealth when you got those 2?
No.
Mike, did you when you got your whip?
Yeah, I did, but I don't use my Ring of Wealth anymore. I actually got a dark bow with the pies without a Ring of Wealth, too.
Yeah, well, the Ring of Wealth then needs to go in the garbage.
Yeah, I like the Berserker Ring now.
Okay.
But anyways, I like Slayer for drops.
Yeah, that's a good answer. Okay. Given my fairly current bank picture, which can be found on the forums at this address, what do you think I should spend part of the money on? I was planning to maxing out combat skills, if not, just melee, so buying 99 prayers is one of my to-dos. Do you think I would be justified in buying this now, or waiting until I'm maxed on HP as well as defense? From PFK99s. Let's see. The bank picture's on the first page of that topic. Let's see. He has apparently 100 mil to work with. So, and his prayer is 77. So should he buy 99 prayer now, or wait until he's done hit points and defense?
Well, 99 prayer isn't that useful after you've got 70 for that prayer. I don't know.
I think I'd disagree on that one. I'd say you should go for prayer first.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd do prayer first. Get the boring part over with first.
Well, the idea being, I've only 6-1 prayer, and I'm keeping it there just purely for balancing my combat level, because I'm, like I said, I PK, so I do take that into account. But if I was to be planning to go for 99 across the board, and I knew I was going to get 99 prayer at some point, I'd rather have it sooner, because the higher your prayer level, the more prayer points it restores when you drink a dose of Prey Pot. So it's going to help your training if you've got a high prayer whilst you're doing your training for strength, attack, and defense.
Or you could just wait until they come out with another way of doing it, like the gilded altars and the echoing the bones, till there's a faster way, but I don't think there will be.
Yeah, there's
do you think
they
will
few...
do it? Sorry, go on.
Oh, I was just going to say there's quite a few ways already. I don't know if they'll add any more. What were you going to say?
I was going to say exactly the same thing. They've added quite a few different ways now for prayer training. When they did the poll to ask people what things they needed work training on, it prayer was quite low now, surprisingly.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'd say go for 99 prayer. That's what I'd have to say on that one.
And me.
It would look cooler if he has it at a lower level anyway.
And, so. For anybody who thinks I'm the greedy type of person out there, I'm not going to ask him to pay for my farming, just so you guys know that.
Yeah, you just said what everyone was thinking. Shane will say pay for it.
It says, don't spend... He has a poll here. Don't spend cash. 100 mil is too cool. Two people say that. Three people say buy 99 prayer. And one person says buy a rare item then hoard it away, being extra greedy.
What's the point in just keeping the money so it looks pretty? That doesn't do anything.
I know. That's why I cashed in on my two Santa hats to fund Project Green.
You said you only had one. You actually did turn the update. You only had one before.
Well, I'll bleep out the numbers, then they can guess.
You lied.
And that was from PFK99s. That's such an interesting name. Shane, what part of Monkey Madness did you die at? And Brad, what did you think was the hardest desert treasure demon from Skill Pier 100?
Damis is the hardest without a doubt.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that.
Second form, because of the prayer sapping.
And the part that I died on was that demon part, you know?
The end part.
Yeah, the end part. That's when I died.
That's easy.
And I almost died running through the tunnels.
I thought you did die in the tunnels.
Isn't that you?
Oh, well, maybe it was.
Okay. Somebody else take this last one. You guys can fight over it.
Fight.
Don't all fight at once.
Okay, I'll take it. What do you guys think about the media? People like paparazzi and newspaper reporters that follow everyone around. Well, that's from Ryan.
Just leave people alone, but...
No,
I think if
you're famous, you have put yourself in the spotlight, and therefore you cannot complain when people want to come and take pictures of you, because you have put yourself in that position.
Does that explain how when I turn my private chat on RS, I get, like, tons of people messaging me?
Yes. That's because they love Shane. They can't get enough Shane. You should put out an autobiography. It would sell.
You want me to write one?
Yes.
I'll write it and publish it on the blog at shane.rspmb.com.
Oh, I handed that to you.
Okay, thank you, Ryan. Unless anybody else wants to comment on this.
No, I think they're only doing a job at the end of the day, but they do go overboard sometimes.
Okay. Princess Diana.
Yeah. Okay. I will take the first tech news. Google is offering $4.6 billion for this wireless spectrum if they meet certain rules. So basically, as I'm sure you guys all know or have heard before, that by 2009, the TV stations in the U.S. are supposed to stop broadcasting on the analog band, right? You guys heard this?
They're also doing something similar in the U.K., aren't they?
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
So basically this analog bandwidth is at 700 megahertz frequency, which means it, like, you know how your TV signals can basically reach anywhere. So that's precious bandwidth. Anyways, Google says that they sent a letter to the Federal Communications Commission, FCC, that the company intends to bid the minimum $4.6 billion for a portion of the 700 MHz spectrum in an upcoming auction, assuming the FCC adopts rules that require open devices, applications, and wholesale services with network access. So basically what Google wants is they want this to be an open area that anybody can use. Because right now, you know, it's all restricted to the TV stations and everything, right?
Yeah.
Basically, there's an update now. Federal Communication Chairman Kevin Martin hinted that they were considering open access as part of this auction. Originally, both AT&T and Verizon, as you can imagine, they'd be quite upset because that would cause a severe amount of problems for them if Google could just come in and make, say, a phone or something and start sucking away their customers. But right now, AT&T and Verizon are actually reversing their decisions and are agreeing to this, so it should be interesting to see what happens. What do you guys think?
It's not causing them problems. They're just seeing their profit margin and saying, well, we're not going to make as much money.
Yeah, and that's all these big companies care about, really. Just kind of sad, but okay.
I think it's good because Google are trying to make it open source almost, aren't they? They're saying anybody can access it and use it. That's the important thing.
I actually like this idea. I hope they get it, you know? Like, just imagine what that would mean. Imagine you could buy a phone and use it from Google, and you wouldn't be tied to anyone. But I don't know about how the cell phone plans and stuff work in the UK, but the cell phone plans here in Canada are pretty crappy as for data access and everything, so that would be a welcome thing to happen, which it might happen here, because as we know, anything that happens in the US might be adopted by Canada.
Eventually, like 5 years later.
Yeah. So how are the data plans and everything in the UK? Like, how much does it cost to send a text message?
I don't know. It always costs me more because I'm sending from abroad.
It's not too bad, to be honest. I mean, most everybody in the UK now usually ends up having X amount of free text per month, and usually that's enough for them. But in terms of data and using the phones for access and whatever, they're quite good in the UK. There's a lot of support in the big cities for fairly decent access from WAP devices and what have you, GPRS.
I know when I originally got my phone, I accidentally pressed the web button and it downloaded some web page, and it was like a $5 charge just to download the one web page on the web browser on the phone.
Was it a web page with a picture of a scantily clad lady on it?
No.
And
no.
Was that your excuse?
No.
Okay.
And, text messages are expensive here, too, so we just really have sucky broadband plans, phone plans here. I wish we had your guys' plans. Okay. Anything else on this one? Okay, I guess not. Microsoft sees stronger XP sales in the 2008 fiscal year. And yes, that is XP. Microsoft said yesterday that it expects Windows XP, the operating system supposedly made moot by Windows Vista, to make up a significantly larger part of sales in the upcoming year. During a conference with analysts following earnings results yesterday afternoon, Chief Financial Officer, somebody, I'm not going to read his name, said the company had changed the fiscal year forecast from an 85-15% split in sales between Vista and XP to a 78-22 split. Windows XP sales will, in other words, be nearly 50% higher in the next 12 months than Microsoft had estimated earlier. Does this surprise anyone?
No.
No.
That makes sense on two different counts, though, doesn't it? First, because of the problems with Vista, so more people are sticking to XP instead of Vista. It also makes sense as well because more businesses are moving away from 2000 to XP because it is now almost stable enough to do that for businesses.
Yes, yes, I agree with that. I agree 100% with that. And frankly, with Windows Vista, technically the only thing that there's different internal things, but why would somebody want to upgrade to a new operating system just to get a nice shiny UI? And that's actually, I think it's more confusing. Has anybody tried the Vista UI here?
No.
Yes.
Do you find it more confusing than the XP one?
It's more confusing than what you're used to, obviously, but I think on the whole it generally isn't. It's not ready yet. I wish in a lot of ways they had waited another 6 months or given out free beta trials to more people or something, because it's they've not gotten it polished yet, and it's going to be a while before it is.
Yeah, Service Pack 1 supposedly will hit beta by sometime the end of this year, so we'll have to see what happens with that. I know I had a tech story about that last week, but that was completely false. Or no, 2 weeks ago that was, so yeah. Okay, and now we got some Mac news. Safari exploit gives hacker full control over iPhones and possibly PCs and Macs. So basically what this is, it's a little exploit that if somebody goes to a website using Safari, it'll give the person full control over the iPhone or whatever it might be with this exploit. So it's full administration access, and they were able to get the listen-in on the audio, get the SMS logs, address book, call history, passwords, email, and more. So this is basically full access to the iPhone. Does anybody think that this could be because this web browser is being thrust out into the open, and before it was only on Mac OS, and basically Mac OS is such a small portion of the computer users out there that they're basically never attacked. So this brings up the question, is there big holes in this Mac operating system that I am sitting in front of right now?
Well, I'll just move your cursor for you now and type it on your screen for you, and then you can tell me what you think. Yeah, I think the iPhone's been unfortunate, though, because it's had such exposure. You notice this is from an independent security evaluator, so these are guys that are paid to find holes and then know how to fix it. And they've waited for the release of this, and they've been working at it almost 24 hours a day to try and find some kind of hole. So I know it's not long after the release, but I'm not surprised they found something. And if you look at the dev wiki for the iPhone and the people that are trying to work out the root directories and what's on there and how it works, there's a lot of people going at this at the minute.
Yeah, that's how it was initially when Mac OS was ported or it was released. They always had a version of it. When they released the Intel version of it, that's how it was back then, too. I don't know. I'm just hoping that I'm not sitting on a ticking time bomb that'll explode one day. That's what I'm hoping. But if that happens, I'll just move back to Windows.
Could you do it, though?
What? Move back to Windows?
Hmm.
Oh, yes, definitely. 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 I could move back to Windows. I've got everything working on here, and only thing that takes some time would be adjusting to the keyboard shortcuts, because it's different. The keyboard shortcuts are a bit different. But yeah, I could move back to Windows no problem. If I had to. Which I don't think I'll have to, but if I had to, I could. Okay. Shall we move on to rants?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Who wants this first one?
I don't mind.
Mike or Joe, then? One of you two take it. It's about Quest series.
I'll go for it.
Okay.
Okay, that's it. I've had enough. I can't wait any longer. How many Quest series have Jagex left unfinished? As a bold adventurer, I've acquired the Quest Cape. Needless to say, I enjoy doing quests, but why did Jagex always prefer to start a new storyline rather than finish off an old one? There are far too many left open. In particular, Morning's End Part 2, The Temple of Light. You may not realise it, but this quest was released 17th of October 2005. That's about 16 months ago. How ridiculous is that? I remember doing that quest when it came out and thoroughly enjoying it. Would it be too much to ask to finish off the series? I'd like to live to see how it ends. Yes, that was a joke. I'm 16 at the moment. Amongst storylines yet unfinished are Ham series, Elfin Lands, the Western Land series, Pirate series, Rise of the Red Axe series, another one I really want to see continued, the Myreek series, Vampire series, Eastern Land series, Elemental Workshop series, this one will be dragged on for years, Fairy Tale series, another good series, Gnome series, Monkey Madness follow-ups, Fremenic series, Troll series, he really needs to choose another word than series there, Zarosian / Desert Treasure series, Sophonem, is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, I think so.
Minifos series, lots going on here, but wouldn't expect them to finish that. the White Knight series and the Ogre series. There are probably loads more series, undoubtedly, with his fondness for the word. But I'm sure you get the point. If I have time between ripping my hair out for the new quests we want, I'll update the support list. And note, the new quest reminded me of Camelot series.
I didn't even know that there was an Ogre series.
Yeah, there's quite a few Ogre quests, really, when you think about it. I only know because I'm not much into my quests, and I only tended to do a few of them recently instead of a while back.
You know, one can think, though, are they really series? Like, yeah, there's that one, the Plague series one, that relies on the previous one, but I don't think the Ogre ones are all that much related. Like, you can put them into little bags of, like, sets, you know? Like, for instance, you could put all the Ogre ones in one, anything relating to Falador in one. Those kind of ones you could put in sets. It's sort of like there's no definite Klingon series on Star Trek. They just put them in a Klingon series set, you know?
Jesus.
They're throwing Star Trek or farming into everything.
Well, I'm just going to say one thing about this rant, then I'll turn it over to you guys, but the two that I really want to see done are the Morning's End series and the Fairy Tale series.
I would like to see the Morning's End one finished.
Would you do that quest with us if it came out?
Yes, I would do it.
Good. Okay.
Mike? Maybe they can't think of anything else. Maybe they've been like doing the story and they're suddenly like, what would happen next? We can't think of anything.
I'd love to come in and write about that.
It's not just that, though, because what you've got to bear in mind is it's like some of them halt because the developers that are looking after those series leave. It's like the developer left that's doing Rise of the Red Axe, but they've now assigned Mod Greg to do that one. But he's at the minute he's doing his Fairy Tale one. So he'll do the Fairy Tale one first. That'll be his little one finished. Then he'll be doing Rise of the Red Axe because he's taken over from a developer that's since left. You've got to factor that in as well at the same time.
A lot of the quest chains have closer parts than 16 months, don't they?
Well, yeah, quite. I mean, Morning's End, I think, is a particularly long one. But the problem with Morning's End is it's not just a quest. If the quest was, say, for example, based around Varrok and using pre-existing skills and items, it wouldn't be such a big deal. But they're talking about opening up the Elven lands, aren't they? And Pryfidinas, when they do this quest. And also, I know Shane's picked up it might have the Blood Altar.
Or the Soul Altar.
Then
I suppose they have to wait for the runecrafting update to be ready before they can put the quest
exactly
out. Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, there's all kinds of things that you've got to consider that it might affect and might have knock-on effects to. And if they released it and there was a massive bug that screwed the game up for everybody, everybody would be really peeved. So they've got to take the time sometimes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. For the record, I think the Blood Altar will be in the eastern area somewhere, and the Soul Altar in the Elf City. That's what I have to say. Anything from Mike on this one?
No, everything's been said already.
Okay. On to the next one, then. Okay. Oh, this one. I know about this one. Mike, do you want to read this one?
Okay. This is not only about vials. Read the whole thing. Okay, people. Ready for another random Techno 1 rant. Woo. Coughs loudly. Anyways, I'm currently ranting about the new and unimproved look of the game. In particular, when I got an empty vial from one of the knights in the new quest. I thought something was inside of it. This empty glass vial doesn't look empty, and it doesn't look like glass. But, Misty Techie 1, 'tis no big deal, yo. Pitiful English aside, I know it's no big deal. The big deal, though, is the game is being updated in pointless and ways that make it seem impossible, even for an online RPG set in medieval times. For one thing, Varrok. I loved old Varrok and that giant fountain where free-to-play sellers hung around for hours just to sell a rune mace. Now, it's four unconnected, pitiful fountain-like things. Can you please bring back the old fountain? Let's talk about jewelry. Necklaces, fat, uncentered, and look like they're going to explode. Case closed. Rings. Weren't they more, fuller? They just don't, look right. Maybe make them rounder. Amulets. Why is the left side skinnier than the right? Again, doesn't look right. I chose to make this about vials mainly because it caught my attention first. What happened to the old clear, like, lines that showed how it was actually, clear? They're just gray now. One side light, one side dark. I wouldn't call it an improvement. Okay, now, the main ideas. Jagex, please don't make any more graphical improvements unless they actually improve the look of things and make them look more realistic. Do you see the way people hate the improvements of some slash most areas? How about you consult with us, not the US, the people who didn't read that right, and ask us if we like it, and we can pull on better ideas. It's your game, but we pay to keep it running. I probably won't get tons of supporters, but I'll get people who didn't read, so just post ideas.
So. Yeah, I actually don't like the way the vials look.
I must admit, I thought it was a fishing pot in my invent when I first saw it, but...
You know, I thought the exact same thing.
Yeah, it looked like some gray potion from that was used in some quest.
Yeah.
I do agree about the fountain, though. I do like the old Varric fountain.
Yes.
I quite like it how it is, but I think they need to make the gap between them sort of three squares so you can actually stand in the middle, because at the minute you've got to be off to one side or whatever. So I don't know. I'm finicky about things like that.
I noticed they also changed the beer glasses. Like, I guess they changed
it
all
the
glass items.
It was every glass. Yeah, every glass item. But then again, they did the molten glass the week before, didn't they?
That was okay, though.
Yeah, that was fine. I mean, the thing we've got to consider, though, is maybe they've got a reason for what they're doing. Maybe they've done those models for a particular reason. They're planning to do a change in the game that would affect them.
Maybe there is method to the madness.
Yeah,
maybe they can't have transparency anymore or something, because the new ones aren't transparent.
That's right. At the end of the day, we don't know. I mean, the guy said that it's not more as realistic for a game that's set in medieval times, but you're less likely to find a perfectly clear panel of glass in medieval times than you are in modern day, so it probably was more accurate to have it darker, if anything. But I think he's raised a very, very good point about the idea of polling, because what's to stop Jagex doing graphical polls? Which of these item looks do you prefer?
Exactly. What was one that was changed that looked like really crappy? What was one of those not too long ago? Okay.
The chef's hat was changed.
I'm thinking of something else, though.
The bucket?
Shock.
Yeah, I heard your guys' discussion about that last week.
Sharks turned into dolphins.
They did, actually, yeah. You got a fair point.
And they changed monkfish, but those look more realistic. Because monkfish are, like, flatter.
People don't like change. We've seen... There wouldn't be so many rants if that wasn't true. People just... They like what they used to, and that's it. They don't want change. They just think, yes, this is the way it is. But at the end of the day, Jagex have decided in the first place what it looks like. So if they decide they want to change it, they've obviously got a reason for it. They wouldn't create work for no reason.
That's a good point, too, that people just don't like change. But don't... As more things change, don't they stay the same?
No, they change. They change.
as more things are changed, won't they stay the same?
That's a paradox, isn't it?
It still didn't make any sense the second
time.
The
more things change, the more they stay the same.
No, they don't, because they change. They don't stay the same, they change. Why are you not getting this?
Well, what I'm saying is, once something has changed, it'll stay the same for a while.
Are you trying to be philosophical? Is that it?
You know when Plato said it.
This wise prophet. I'm Shane 1208. The more things change, the more they stay the same. That is the words of wisdom for this week. You can check that out on the blog. Okay, enough.
Okay.
I've got a list of these.
He's probably written them down.
The less money.
The more
I have,
things
the
change, the more they stay the same. Well, that's a good one. Let's write it down.
I am writing it down. Okay. Okay. So, back to this. Some people just don't like change. But
isn't everyone thinking of saying it again? I am.
Yeah, that's why I think that's why I don't like Windows Vista.
What? Because the more things change, the more they stay the same.
With Vista, though, there's been functional changes. It's not just the look of the thing, is it? They've physically changed things. We're talking about graphical changes here. It's no different. The items are no different. It does the same thing. It's got the same functionality. It's purely looks different. That's it.
Maybe they're making it better for colorblind people.
Another good point, yeah. For all you know.
Because they're changed with the magic logs, you know? It's certainly easier to tell it's apart from, like, a willow or whatever it looked like before.
Good
even
idea.
Though even though I think it looks like it's got little blue pieces of mold growing on it. Okay. Are we done with this rant, or do we want to keep talking about change?
You know, Shane, the more things change...
No, we're done.
Okay. Well, let's move on to some other things. Yes, we're still running those highly coveted RSBnB Informer application spots. I think we've gotten, four applications?
Yeah, oh, so coveted, and we've got four.
Yeah. So just if you see that topic on the forums, just please, please apply. Because we need a few people to choose from, aside from people that have sent stuff in. So be sure to send your stuff in. Also, new skill of the month has been picked. That'll start at the beginning of August. It's thieving once again. It was thieving a few months ago, but yeah, that's perfectly allowed. The way Fred works is that he'll pick a skill that hasn't been picked in the past 2 months. And this current skill of the month is construction. Let's get a little XP update on that. Okay.
I think Sorted is still winning.
Yeah, Sorted is winning by less than 100k as of midnight last night. Southrend is in second, and Mike, you are in third.
Go, Southrend. Oh, yeah. Mike.
Yeah. I'm not going to make it. I need like a million XP to win or something.
Yes. We did increase that to 50 posts, I shall add. What have we been doing?
Nothing.
Brad's in England.
Yeah, that's the only difference.
And you don't have water.
No.
Because it flooded.
Yeah.
Too bad. Is anybody hurt?
No.
That's good.
Well, two people were killed while they tried to pump water out of a building, but they actually died from the fumes from the pump rather than the water.
Oh.
So I don't know whether that would technically qualify as a flood death or whatever.
Well, there were some... earlier on in the flooding, weren't there? There's that guy who had that. He got caught in the drain and so on.
Oh,
and so.
Yeah, the floods are
normal. So, that's been quite serious. It's more
so
financial.
Where did this flood come from?
The sky.
Rain. It's funny, though, because somebody pointed out that I read when they were having floods up north around Hull, it was hardly on the news, and now they've got floods down south, which are, you know, a little bit more severe, maybe. They're all over the news. It's like 24-hour coverage.
International news as well, yeah.
And that goes to show nobody cares about the north of England.
I haven't seen anything on the news here about it.
Well, the news on Australia was showing it, I know that.
Oh, okay. So what have you been up to, Joe?
Real life, I've been busy working. We've had a very, very busy week in work. And the kids have been keeping busy at work. In game, I've been building up my total. I've gone from, in the last week or so, from 1811 up to 1831 now.
Holy cow. Okay.
So I've been catching up.
And Mike?
Nothing really.
Basket weaving?
No.
Okay. Well, I just got back from my trip, and I'm still trying to figure out what happened when I was gone, and I still feel a bit out of the loop. But Project Green is going on, I shall add. We've already got the ad in for that, so I won't talk much more about it. But I did get 93, less than 500k to 94. So yeah, that's about it for that. I think we're about done here. If anybody else wants to say anything before we wrap this one up,
that's it.
Okay.
No, I'm out.
Okay. So with that said, this has been RSPNB Update 110, I think. Yeah, 110.
110.
So that's it for this week with Joe, our famous bot reporter.
See ya.
Mike.
Bye.
And Brad.
Goodbye.
And myself. Goodbye, folks. Another RSPNB Update is done.